All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Parkinson's Association of San Diego podcast series. I'm your host, Jeff Seckendorf, and I am here with Steve Steinberg. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Jeff.
So this is an exciting podcast. It follows the short podcast we did with our new executive director, Stephanie Murphy, which dropped last week. And Steve has now taken on a role at the Parkinson's Association as community liaison, which is really cool. So we're going to talk about what that entails, what happens. But the coolest thing is when you call the main number at the Parkinson's Association now, Steve picks up the phone. So Steve, tell us, give us your elevator pitch. Who are you? Give us like a minute about who you are and what you're up to.
Well, I guess as it relates to this position, the most important items are, first of all, I'm a licensed clinical social worker, which I think it's very insightful of the organization to hire a social worker to be the one taking calls. But then I also am a person living with Parkinson's. I've had Parkinson's now for over 12 years. And I bring that and my professional experience as a social worker to this position. And I think that those two things will help me bring hope to the community.
Yeah, it's cool. So this was a new position that we created. So now there's a staff of three, right? There's Stephanie as the executive director. I'm the director of operations, hiding behind the scenes, doing stuff. And then you're kind of going to be the telephone face of the organization. And we'll get to some of the other things. But what's your vision of what happens when somebody calls? Like, tell us about some of the calls that show up and, you know, what your take on how you're working with some of these people.
Sure. The people that have been calling are looking for resources. They're looking for help. They're looking for anything to reach, to grab a hold of, to give them hope in their journey of Parkinson's. So it might be somebody at the beginning of their Parkinson's journey who's just been diagnosed. It might be someone who's further along and is interested in support or needs some information.
And because you're a social worker, you bring, you know, a lifetime of experience working with people who are in all sorts of various stages of needing support, right?
I've worked with people who are just needing a change in a provider to somebody who is in crisis mode, where they're considering suicide or hurting somebody else. I've worked for 28 years in the mental health field, and I've seen the full range of human conditions.
So this is maybe a little calmer, right?
Yeah, I hope so. Or at least I hope that I can bring hope to those who come in more crisis mode so that they can move out of that.
Yeah, and we are really an education and resource organization more than a crisis response organization. I think that's important too, right? In crisis, call 911, right? Or call 211. But for resources on how we can help with your journey, call Steve.
Exactly. Or if you're feeling like you just need somebody to talk to or a little pick-me-up, we're here to do that as well. And that is often done through speaking with somebody, but it's also done through giving resources, support resources, and advocacy.
Yeah, and you're going to be working on the mentor program. You're slowly starting to take that on. So as people call and need guidance on who to choose as a mentor or to learn about the mentor program, I know you'll be doing that, which is really cool. And that's one of the big resources we have for people.
That, along with the many other support services and resources we offer, it gives me a lot of tools to help point somebody in the right direction for their next phase of their journey with Parkinson's.
And it's not just people with Parkinson's, right? It's care partners, families, friends. It's whoever needs the help.
Sure. In fact, I've had more calls from family members seeking help. I've been answering phones for a week, so it hasn't been that long. But it really has been more family members. And sometimes they're calling for the person with Parkinson's, but sometimes they're calling for themselves. needing support and education to help them better cope. And we're as happy to serve them as we are people with Parkinson's.
Yeah, we know that from the long history with the mentor program that it's probably like 55 or 60% care partners who are using the mentors for guidance, lifestyle guidance, and then it is the people with Parkinson's actually calling. And I always thought that was an interesting piece of it, right? That we served, the families as much as we serve the people with Parkinson's, because, we know that when one person in the family gets Parkinson's, basically the whole family has Parkinson's in some form or another.
That's right. And we've got resources for both available. A Good Start program is good for both people.
And the Care Partner Education Program is there also for people.
That's right.
So let's talk about your work with support groups, because that was it's a really interesting part of your story on your journey with Parkinson's and now your relationship with the Parkinson's Association. So you started one that's now three, and you got traction in a place where it was hard to get traction before. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I think what you're referring to mostly is the young onset Parkinson's group. Back in early spring, the Parkinson's Association asked for a volunteer to step forward and try to start a young onset Parkinson's disease, YOPD, group and program. We thought it would take, well, at least a year to get a group up and running, and we're at two full groups now, and going to start a list for a third one. And I have a care partners meeting starting on December 9th.
Why do you think that is, Steve? Why do you think that we haven't had a lot of traction in the young onset groups, and then you walked in, started one, and now they're full? Do you have any idea?
Well, I think for one, they're out there and they're wanting something. But the traditional support settings don't fit for them. Many of them have tried one or two groups in the community and unsuccessfully because they feel like their problems aren't relatable to the other members of the group.
You're talking about people who have been long-term diagnosed, right? Who may be much more advanced.
Long-term diagnosed, but are what I refer to as people with older onset.
Oh, it's interesting. So young onset, of course, people, they could be working, dating, dealing with families, young kids, all of it, right?
Exactly. And the things that a lot of people aren't. And so I think there's a lot of energy that comes from sharing of experiences in support groups. And they're busy. They work, they have families, like you say. And so it's hard to keep something going. And so me stepping in and saying, I'll coordinate this. I'll have the Zoom set up every month for you guys. And somebody who's dedicated to making that happen makes it easier for them to participate. And they've just, I don't know how to say it differently, but they've come out of the woodwork and they're very excited, they're very talkative, and they're wanting to learn from each other.
We've talked about this a lot with young onset, that young onset, there's a clinical definition for it, right? Diagnosed at 55 or less or something like that. But it's in a lot of cases, and we know lots of people who are young onset in that clinical definition who are now in their 60s, 70s, whatever. They were just diagnosed a long time ago. What's interesting to me is sort of the consciousness around young onset, which is this thing we were just talking about. It's like here's a group of people who may be in their 30s, 40s, 50s, still in the middle of a career, facing, issues with that, still raising kids, maybe still have, kids in the house, having to pay for college, all this other stuff, and the whole dating and all that thing, if you're, living alone or single still. I think that what you bring to the table is so valuable for that group of people who, as you said, don't want to sit in a support group meeting with a group of people who are longtime retired, learning how to manage a more advanced level of Parkinson's. So I think that that was a really good thing for you to do.
And I fit into that population that was young onset when I was diagnosed, but I'm not so young anymore.
Yeah, that's the thing when none of us seem to be able to dodge right now.
But I do lead other groups that aren't young onset. I lead one in Southwest Riverside County in the Temecula Murrieta area, and I facilitate the older onset Parkinson's group at Oceanside. So I see firsthand why where they have difficulty connecting with each other. I also see that a definition of 50, age 50 or less for onset can't be held enforced in any way because I'm 60 and I still relate more to the young onset group than I do to the older onset group because of my life circumstances.
Yeah, life circumstances, lifestyle, life interests, all of it, right? I mean, you're 60, but you're a young 60. So, it's cool. And I think you bring so much to the table, with the Parkinson's Association of San Diego. Having a licensed clinical social worker pick up the phone, I think is so valuable, for the people who call, for the organization, for, all of it, just knowing how to help and guide people is it's a great thing.
Well, as I said earlier, I think this shows a lot of insight on, yes, I'm grateful to have the position. I also know that I'm lucky to be in an area where an association has enough insight to see that there's value to bringing a professional social worker in to be the person who is the point of contact for the community.
It's interesting. Somebody once said to me, "You're lucky to be in San Diego if you have Parkinson's." It was one of those things where our resources are so powerful for the community. And, we're getting more powerful, as the organization expands, as, new grant opportunities show up. So we have more resources to do more education and more programming. I think it's, we have a bright future.
Yeah, there's lots of reasons to be in San Diego that have nothing to do with Parkinson's. But
Yeah.
I specifically moved to this area from Temecula Murrieta area to be closer to the association and the resources that are here. So I really believe we are lucky to be here, but I still run across people who don't know all the resources that are available in their community. And that's one of the exciting things about my job is learning about what those resources are and then also sharing those with people so that they know what resources there are so that they can live a better life.
So you can be reached, Steve, through the website. The phone number is on the contact page, 858-210-5674. You don't have to remember it, everybody. Just go look on the contact page on the website. If you hit the form, the contact form, Steve will get that and he'll get back to you, during normal hours, normal working hours. I want to reiterate that we're not a crisis organization, but we are there to help in almost any form. So welcome, Steve.
Thank you much. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. It's great to be working with you. And I think lots of fun to be had and lots of San Diego to be had.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. You'll hear lots more from Steve, from Stephanie Murphy, from me, from our whole team here. And yeah, we'll see you all on the next one. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye now.